Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. This is the reading of God's word. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and accomplished for us. Let us see the heavenly realities that we possess even now in Christ. And through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Increase our faith as we hear your word. And with that faith, let us witness our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and the life of this church. Bless us and receive all the glory. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, Apostle Paul has told us in verse 23, which we have looked at last time, that he was made a minister of the gospel. The gospel, according to verses 20 and 23, having made peace through the blood of his cross, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of creation and the Lord of the new creation, reconciled all things to God. He has now reconciled us in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before God holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Paul is a minister of this gospel. And now from verse 24 all the way down to chapter 2, verse 5, Paul tells us about his ministry. So we're going to consider from verse 24 all the way to 2:5, a one separate section. And today, we begin with verse 24, and let me read that to you once again. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do not, in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Now, it sounds strange, doesn't it? What does it mean? The question, in order for us to answer that question, we start with a question. The Apostle Paul understands who he is and what his life is all about. What was his understanding? What did he believe? See, Isaiah 49 verse 6b says, it's about prophecy concerning the Messiah. It says, I will also make you, God will make the Messiah, a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. The Messiah will come and preach God's salvation to the end of the earth. But when we read the Gospels, Jesus never physically leaves the land of Canaan. And when we read the Acts, we see that the apostles, as the representatives of Christ, as the witnesses of Christ, they go out to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the nations. But even the apostles were not able to preach to all the nations in the world. Throughout the church history, more than 2,000 years now, Jesus has raised many preachers to preach his gospel to all nations. Jesus has said that accepting those who are sent by himself is to accept himself. This is what Paul understands, and this is what we must understand and believe. See, Paul's life and our life are united. We are united to Jesus Christ in Jesus Christ. See, our lives are a participation in his life. His life has become our life. We are the representative of Christ. We are the witnesses of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. You know, this is not just, you know, high saying. This is the truth. This is God's word. It says that it is no longer I who live. Of course, we live. We're not dead. But there's another aspect of our life, and that is that it is no longer who I live, but Christ, he lives in me. And we're not imagining this. He actually lives in us. And we live to witness that Christ lives through us. That's what your life is all about, to show this world the fact that Christ lives in you. He lives through you. We live to witness that. Our lives are an extension of his life. We do things as if Jesus himself is doing those things in us and through us. That is your understanding. That is your faith. That is what you believe. See, Paul believed this, that he believes that Jesus lives in him. So that everything that he does to show that Jesus actually lives in him. That his life is an extension of the life of Christ. This is very important truth that you must believe, because the Bible teaches it. And when you fully understand this, and I don't know how long it will take us, fully understand, maybe until we die. But without understanding this, without believing this, you're not going to be able to live that Christian life that God wants you to live. Because it has to come from your faith. God says, without faith, everything is sin. So, pay attention. You know, my sermon might not be long today, but it's talking about a very important thing here. Now, let me say that again. We live, our lives are the extension of his life. We do things as if Jesus himself is doing those things in us and through us. We are truly united to our Lord Jesus Christ in all aspects. How far does Paul take this understanding? He says, be imitators of me. This is not his arrogance. This is his faith. He fully understands the union between him and his Lord, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Paul loves the church of Jesus Christ just as Lord himself loves his church. He even says that I love you with the affection of Christ, with the heart of Christ. In fact, Bible says that you and I, we have the heart of Christ. See, you have to understand these things. You have to believe these things. Not just as a good sayings, but as your reality. Because your life has to flow out from your faith. It all depends on what you believe. See, Paul's love for the church, Paul understands, that is extension of the love of Christ for his church. So he understands his love for church is extension of Christ's love for church, so that as he loves that church, he's showing people how Christ loves the church. That's his understanding. That is his faith. That is what he believes. So how he lives comes out of, flow out from his faith, what he believes. What he believes, what Christ has already accomplished for him. And we must do the same. I have been crucified with Christ, meaning I'm dead. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. We must believe. Doesn't mean there's this aspect that how, you know, we live. Yes, there is. But you live that life as you understand that Christ lives in you. He lives through you. You know, it's so wonderful to say these things. Paul says in our verse, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. I am glad, he says, I am happy when I suffer for you. Paul rejoices in his sufferings for others. He is not saying that he rejoices in his sufferings in general, but that he rejoices in his sufferings for other brothers and sisters. You see, this is a participation in the life of Jesus Christ. This is exactly how Jesus lived. And Paul understands and he believes. And just like what we said before, this is how Paul lives. And this is not pretending. This is the truth. This is God's word. Paul is telling us his true feeling. He's really happy to suffer for other people. And this is what Christianity is. This is what life of Christ is all about. And the question is then, how can Paul do this? How could he be happy? Well, it's because of his faith. Where does your happiness come from? Is that all about worldly things? We're learning how we are to live as a Christian. We're learning what we need to do this says, I'm glad when I suffer for you. Paul lives to witness that Jesus is living through him. This is the joy of Christianity, sufferings for other people. If you do not have joy in your life, then suffer for others, I suggest, because the Bible says, then you will find joy, true joy, not joy that you will have for a little while because you have certain worldly things and that joy will disappear very soon. You know, look at how it is out there. You know, all they're so happy when they get a new house, new home, new car. And but soon you get tired of it. You want better one. You want newer one. Nowadays, that kind of understanding even goes to like how you choose your partners. You know, they divorce. They get tired of their wives and their husbands. The joy doesn't last. Because you're seeking the wrong kinds of joy. The true joy is, and true joy comes by suffering for other people. The life that rejoices in suffering for others is an extension of the life of Christ, who rejoiced in his sufferings for us. He did not suffer or die on that cross reluctantly. He volunteered. You know, he understood even before he came as a man what kind of treatment that he will receive when he comes and what will happen to him. And yet he came knowing, fully knowing, because he loves you and it was his joy to suffer for you. So that Paul rejoicing in suffering for other people is an extension of the life of Christ. Jesus Christ, who rejoiced in suffering for us. We must understand the following in the same term. Paul says, in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. I said all this to understand what Paul is saying in this verse. We are very clear that there is nothing lacking in the works of Jesus Christ in accomplishing our salvation. There is nothing lacking in the sufferings of Christ in accomplishing the eternal salvation of God. But we are to understand this in the same terms as before. In terms of union with Christ. In terms of a participation in his life. Or in this case, a participation in the sufferings of Christ. Our lives are the extension of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to witness that we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. Now, in order for us to understand this verse better, we must go to Philippians chapter 2. Let's go there, because we have a very good example in Philippians. Help us to understand what Paul is saying in our verse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 30. Paul says to Philippian church now, because he came close to death. He meaning Epaphroditus. You know, I'm so bad at reading these kind of names. Epaphroditus. When he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient, what was lacking in your service to me. Paul says to Philippians that Epaphroditus came and he almost died. He risked his life to what? For what? To complete what was deficient in your service to me. See, Philippians sent Epaphroditus to Paul to serve him. Paul says that Epaphroditus risked his life to complete what was deficient, what was lacking in their service to him. Now, Paul is not complaining here that the service of Philippians for Paul is poor. He's not saying that, oh, you did a bad job, and Epaphroditus, he's the one who is now, because of him, that he feel what was lacking in your service to me. That's not what, he's not complaining here. Then what is Paul saying here? Paul's understanding is that the service of Epaphroditus to Paul is an extension of the service of Philippians of Paul. So Epaphroditus, he serves Paul as an extension of Philippians' service for Paul. That's Paul's understanding. That's what he means. Obviously, he's not complaining to Philippians. So then, just like it, you bring that understanding to our verse, and we understand that verse as our suffering for others is an extension of the sufferings of Christ for us, for all of his people. That's what he means by filling up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. We are participating in the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. We suffer to witness that Jesus suffers. I'm not making this up. Go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. You understand the background, right? Paul, then Saul, his name changes to Paul later. But as a Saul, he goes around and he kills Christians. He captures Christians, put them into a prison or kills them. And one day, he was going into Damascus, the city of Damascus. And on the way to that city, Jesus, resurrected Jesus, appears to him. And verse 4, Jesus says to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, obviously, Jesus is not being persecuted personally, because he was already resurrected and he now sits at the right hand of God. And this resurrected Lord, glorious Lord, comes to Saul and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" When Paul was going around persecuting Christians. Do you see the union that Jesus acknowledges, that there's union between him and his people? So whatever persecutions that come to his people is same thing as the persecutions that come to him. Just like saying, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." Except we're saying it the other way around. First Peter chapter 4, verse 13a says, "But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing." It says, when you suffer, rejoice. Why? To the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ. So the sufferings that you face as a Christian, Jesus accepts that as a participation in his suffering, as filling up what was lacking in his own suffering. Do you understand? He takes that as an extension of his suffering for his people. This is amazing grace that he accepts our suffering that way. There's union. So that our understanding is that even as I live, I know that it's not I who live, but Christ lives in me. This must be our understanding. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 says, we are the letters of Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 says, we are the fragrance of Jesus Christ. We are the letters of Jesus Christ. We are the fragrance of Jesus Christ. You know, people, they come to you, they look at how you live, and they are to read Jesus Christ from you, from your life. And they are to smell Jesus Christ through you. Understand who you are. Understand what kind of life that you live here. The Paul had this understanding. That's how he lived. As a fragrance of Christ. As letters of Christ. Glorious life. The world will never understand this. And we're not asking them to understand it anyway. But I'm begging you. See, God doesn't beg anybody, but I do. That you understand what your life is all about. And we're honored to be letters of Christ and the fragrance of Christ. See, we witness Jesus Christ through our lives. It's not just, you know, when people talk about witnessing, they think it's like, you know, telling somebody through your lips. Yeah, that's part of it, but more importantly, it's witnessing Christ through your life. Your life shows the images of Christ. Because that's how you live. You live understanding, with the understanding that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And when you live like that, people will see Christ in your life. That doesn't mean they will love you. World hated Jesus. Oh, so they will hate you too. Even churchgoers who fully don't understand the gospel, they will hate you too. Oh, they will say, well, he thinks he's the only holy person. You will hear things like that. As if living that holy life, there's something wrong with it. But they will say things like that. There still remain the sufferings that Jesus Christ must receive as he lives in us. Let me repeat that again. There still remain the sufferings that Jesus Christ must receive as he lives us. As he lives in us. He witnesses his suffering through us, through our lives. The sufferings of Christ is shown through our lives of sufferings for other people. Our sufferings for others are the proof of our union with Christ, because that is the life that He lived. Brothers and sisters, we must witness this. And look at Paul is saying in verse 24, he's saying that I must fill up what was lacking in the sufferings of Christ. And you know, he doesn't mean what many people might understand that verse. There was nothing lacking in accomplishing salvation. In accomplishing salvation, there was nothing lacking in the works of Christ or sufferings of Christ. The salvation is completely accomplished. But the life, the salvation life that God wants us to live, is a participation now in the life of Christ. So in that sense, there remain sufferings that Jesus needs to receive as He lives in us. Because our lives, even our sufferings, is an extension of life of Christ. Christ continues to live in us and through us. See, if He suffered, then I must suffer. If He loved something, then I must love that. If He rejoiced over something, then I must rejoice over it. If He hated something, then I must also hate it. It's not that difficult concept, you guys. Because it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Understand it, brothers and sisters. And this is the understanding of Paul. This is his faith. We must believe the same truth. Who I am and how I must live are determined by our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished for me. We do not determine who we are. We do not determine how we must live. No, that's the world. World will say that. Oh yeah, they're philosophers. You know, they think they're saying something great. You know, you determine how you live. No, that's not what the Bible says. You are not the owner of your life. God says that you do not belong to you. He has bought you at a price. So now you belong to God. So who we are is determined by what Christ has done, what Christ has accomplished. And how we are to live is determined by Jesus Christ and what He has done and accomplished for us. You have to understand what the Bible is trying to tell us. Oh, it's seldom we meet people who get it. Man, they think they're just living the life that belongs to the world. They live same life as the worldly people. And somehow they say, oh, I'm doing this for God. As if, you know, you do something and then you bring it to God and God will be so pleased with it. No. That's other religion. In all other religion, that is true. You try to impress your God. So you do all these things to impress God, and God will bless you. That's all other religion. Only way we could impress our God is Jesus Christ. You come through Him. You come in Him. Otherwise, He will reject you every single time. Jesus Christ is the only way. Only truth. Only life. Christ lives in me. And as He lives in me, there still remains the sufferings that He must receive in me. Thus, there still remains the sufferings that we must receive. Understanding our lives as the extension of His life, this is so important. This is a tremendous honor and joy for us. If this is not our understanding, this union with Christ, then rejoicing in the sufferings by us just shows that there is something seriously wrong with you. Why would you be so happy suffering? You think God just asking you to suffer and be happy? And how can we be happy when we suffer? But we are able to be happy because of Christ. Because our understanding that suffering is now a participation in His life. Suffering is to imitate Christ, to be like Him. Because that is our purpose. That's why we rejoice even suffering. Oh no, no, God is not just saying suffer and rejoice. No, if you just suffer without Christ and you rejoice, there's something wrong with you. Only reason we rejoice is because of Christ. Because I want to be like Him. Because He means everything to me. And just being able to show the world the glimpse of Christ, that is tremendous honor for me. To witness Christ. Oh, we pray and we desire to witness Christ in every second of our lives. Yes, we want that. And we will do that in heaven. But here, we do our best. So that they could see the glimpse of Christ more and more in the life of us, our life. See, Jesus is our joy. Let us believe and live by faith that our lives are the extension of the glorious life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are so blessed to be able to witness Christ even through our lives. Consider it as your honor and joy. Go out and just fully participate as much as you are able in the life, that glorious life of Christ. That's what Paul understands, and because of that understanding, he says things like this. Otherwise, it's just arrogance. I would be the first one to point at Paul and say, what are you talking about? What do you mean you're feeling what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ? That's arrogance. And yet it's not. It's not. We know it because we read other parts of his letters to understand his understanding. What is his faith? And once we have that same faith, then we are able to say this. And even as I suffer for other people, my understanding, I'm filling up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Wow! Do you understand that this is what is now you are able, what you are able to do because of His salvation? Oh, His glorious life. We give Him all the glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all the blessings that You pour out to us. As sinners like us, You have saved us out of that sin and made us Your people, citizens of Your kingdom, who are now able to witness Jesus Christ. We are now able to participate in the glorious life of Christ. We are now able to imitate Christ. Who are already the letters and the fragrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, let us fully understand how it is no longer we who live, but Christ lives in us. Let us show that as we live our lives here on earth. We thank you and we pray that you will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.